Our primary purpose this afternoon, this will not always be this way, but our primary purpose this afternoon is to observe the Lord's Supper. I imagine that in the future we may have a regular church service with the Lord's Supper following it, then perhaps the Lord's Supper prior to. There's no demand in the scripture that we follow any particular order, sequence, and this sort of thing. We know that the Lord Jesus, the first time, the disciples had a meal, and then they had the Lord's Supper. We'll see what happens. I apologize for the fact that we have not had this observance on a regular basis. The problem is entirely mine. I take full responsibility for that. And even though I have said in the past we'd try to do it more often, I really mean it. I would like to see it at least once a quarter, at least every 3 months, four times a year, something like that. The Lord's Supper is an act of obedience. We are told to do it. It's an act of remembrance. We remember our Savior and what He's accomplished for us. It is an act of thanksgiving. Thank you, Lord, what you've done for us. It is an act of commemoration. It is also an act of communion in the sense that there is a fellowship involved. And we might picture the fellowship as between us, one with another, but in this particular case, it should be a fellowship that we have with the Lord. And the word communion refers to that fellowship. I was raised in another denomination where communion was the primary word when we were talking about the Lord's Supper. In most Baptist churches, it's the Lord's Supper, but you're going to hear me say communion. I have no problem with that. And there may be the Lord's table and other designations, some of which we find in the Word of God, some of them which are just kind of on the periphery. Let's go through these verses, beginning with 23. And let me just bring some things to your attention, which perhaps you already have seen. 1 Corinthians 11, 23. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. We'll stop right there. Paul may have had special instruction about the Lord's Supper. He may have been given information when he was in training out there in the desert. He says, that which I have received, I have delivered to you. Maybe there was nothing more than what we have in the Gospels. Can't say for sure. He tells us that the first communion service took place the night of Christ's betrayal. Was Paul thinking of the betrayal by Judas? Or was he thinking of the betrayal that was general from all of those disciples that night? Probably the former, but we have to remember that everyone forsook the Lord. And that was, in a sense, a kind of betrayal. And was there some sort of special purpose in Paul mentioning this? Why didn't he say, on the night before the crucifixion, the brethren gathered and they observed the Lord's Supper? Why did he say betrayal? Is it because there is a propensity in all of us to betray the Lord? I have no idea for sure. Who was present at the First Communion? It was not the 70 who went two by two throughout the land. It was not the 120 that we read of in the book of Acts. It was the 12. It was the disciples. It was the membership of the church established, the church which Jesus established during his earthly ministry. Clearly, it was not offered to everyone who was a Christian. There were many more. There were a multitude of ladies, and as I say, the 70 and others. It was just for these brethren who were close to the Lord at that time. Originally, I think we can say it was confined to the members of the Lord's church. And for that reason, and for others, we offer the elements of communion only to our own members. There are other arguments, other reasons. But the first observance should say something, should be enough for us. Verse 24. And when he had given thanks, he broke the bread. In the night that he was betrayed, he took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." The first thing the Lord did was to give thanks. For what did he thank the Father? Was it for the bread? Remember, the dinner was already finished. They were all basically full by this point. So, why did he give thanks? What were the words that he used? We're not given the words, at least per se. Wasn't the thanksgiving in regard to the Lord's upcoming sacrifice and the intention, the meaning of the broken bread? Wasn't he giving thanks to the Father for the opportunity that he has, if opportunity is the right word to use, to redeem us? To give his life a sacrifice for our redemption. Thank you, Father. And then he said, "This is my body." You've probably heard almost all of this material before. This is my body. The bread did not actually become the body of Christ. Right. In either transubstantiation or consubstantiation. The Catholic or the Protestant idea. Jesus in his flesh was holding the bread and passing it out to these people. "This is my body." No, it was not actually his body. What he meant was, "This represents my body." It is the same thing as showing a picture and saying to someone, "This is my wife, this is my husband, these are my children." Not actually, but they represent. This bread represents the broken body of the Lord Jesus Christ. "This do" obviously means take and eat. Take and eat. "This do in remembrance of me." It is not about us. It's not about you. It is about the Lord.
Yes.
"This do in remembrance of me." It's not my job to look over my shoulder at somebody else and say, "Why is he partaking of the Lord's Supper? Why is she doing that? She's such a gossip." Forget about those people. In fact, there is a sense in which we forget about ourselves. It is about the Lord. "Do this in remembrance of me." Verse 25. After the same manner, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me." Does the first part of the verse mean that he has already sipped from the cup before he presents it to the others? I'm not sure. Notice again that the fruit of the vine represents the new covenant which comes through the Savior's blood. The New Testament. Again, our observance of communion is in remembrance of Christ and what he is about to do there at the end of the Gospels, and what now he has already done for our redemption. "This do in remembrance of me." Verse 26. "For as oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come." These are Paul's words. The Lord doesn't tell us how often to observe communion. Only, as often as ye do it. However often it is observed, you are reminding yourselves and telling the world, if the world is aware, that you have placed your faith in the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the broken body and the shed blood are important to you. You are reminding yourself and reminding others. And something which is perhaps not taught often enough in regard to the Lord's Supper is that he's coming again.
Yes.
Do this as often, do it until I return, in essence. As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. He is coming again. Verse 27, 28 and 29. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Because this is a holy commemoration, a holy declaration, it should be observed in a holy fashion, as best as unholy people can do it. So let a man examine himself. But examine what? Of his own worth, his own merit? No one is ever worthy of the Lord. What we are told to examine is the condition of our heart at the time that we partake, with a little extra involved. Notice that the word unworthily in verse 29 is an adverb. It is not, am I worthy? It is, am I partaking in a worthy fashion? Unworthily. It speaks of the manner in which we observe the Lord's table. He who partakes in an unworthy fashion does so contrary to the sacrifice of Christ, which fulfilled all of the boxes that were required for our salvation. The Lord did it worthily in his sacrifice. We should observe worthily in a sanctified way, if at all possible, in a respectful way. He who partakes in an unworthy fashion does so contrary to the sacrifice of Christ and draws upon himself the condemnation or damnation of the Lord. Not the damnation of his soul, but for this reason many of you sleep there in Corinth. For this reason there is suffering among you, and some have died because you have not observed the Lord's table in a worthy fashion. So the Lord's judgment has fallen. Those are verses 30 through 33. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep, physically dead. Children of God, nevertheless. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when ye come together to eat, tarry one for another. Consider that, come together. This is the fifth time in the context, from beginning with verse number 17, where Paul has referred to coming together to observe the Lord's table. Verse 20 says, when ye come together, therefore, into one place. Paul was referring to one church, the ecclesia that met in Corinth. And he speaks about them meeting in one particular site, wherever that was, where they gathered together for the preaching of the word, and so on and so forth. That's where they are observing the Lord's table. One church, one place. And again, from this, it appears that the Lord's Supper should be observed by the members of whatever church is observing that table. Corinth in this case, or Calvary Baptist in ours. Verse 34. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that ye come not together unto condemnation. The rest will I set in order when I arrive, when I come. One of the problems that was taking place in Corinth was that these people were using the Lord's table as dinner. And that's not its purpose. The Lord's Supper is not to feed our bodies. It is to feed our souls. It is not to fill us up. It is to fill us out. It is to stretch us back to Calvary and forward to His return. And the rest the Lord will set in order when He comes.